Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, precious saints of God. Hope all is well. Well, it's all good with me. I hope it's all good with you. And it's all good because both you and I are resting in the arms of the Lord. We're cradled. He cradles us and provides us with the care, the love, the affection, the stability. In a rocky world, in a world filled with trauma and hardship and loss and tragedy, we're cradled in the arms of our Lord. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. And in just a short while, in just a few hours from now, we're going to be at our weekly prayer meeting. Aren't you excited about that? I sure am. Our weekly prayer meetings, I got to tell you, they are a major highlight. I don't know if you've read your portion of reading that you were supposed to do this week. That section we're supposed to be reading today for August the 1st. Chapter 7, verses 61 through 64. Amazing, amazing happenings on those pages. How God moved who had been prayed for. Mothers praying for wayward sons. Women coming face to face with their need for Jesus. Just an amazing chapter. And quite an amazing book. So join us tonight at 6:50. I put on music 10 minutes ahead of time. You have wonderful gospel music. Our prayer meeting begins at 7 with a half-hour study in the Word and followed by 1 hour of prayer. It will strengthen you. It will solidify you. It will give you hope, because whenever we draw near to God as a people, God draws near to us. You make the first move. You draw near to Him, He will draw nigh to you. And He does wonderful things when we come to pray, when we seek Him out. So join us tonight. My study this week is entitled Tragedies Unfolding Before Our Very Eyes. Tragedies Unfolding Before Our Very Eyes. I wanted to do this series because I'm going to be followed by Sister Linda Hart. She's going to be doing an 18-part series on a book by Bishop, Anglican Bishop J.C. Ryles, on the duties of parents in raising their children, 17 principles and one introductory broadcast. She's going to do 18 broadcasts. But before she comes on and shares what Dr. Ryle wrote, Bishop Ryles, and before she adds to that what the Lord will put in her heart each and every day, I wanted to produce a series that would kind of link, be a preparation for what she's doing. And that series is this one, Tragedies Unfolding Before Our Very Eyes. It's based on Judges chapter 2, Judges chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. So let's open up our Bibles. I'm going to be sharing from the New King James Version of the Bible. Judges chapter 2, starting at verse 7, this records the death of Joshua, the servant of the Lord. The death of Joshua. So we're going to go from verse 7 to verse 11, just 5 verses. That's all we're going to be looking at. Thus begins the reading of God's holy and precious word.
So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres, in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gaash. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them, who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served the Baals.
So Joshua dies, and when all is said and done, the children of Israel do evil in the sight of the Lord and begin to serve the Baals. Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, and we praise your name, and we honor you today, Lord. We honor you by drawing near with pure hearts. We honor you by acknowledging you to be our God, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Father. We honor you by saying, "Oh Lord, teach us. Oh Lord, we would have you to instruct us. Oh Lord, we would have you to enlighten us and guide us." We honor you by drawing near, for that's what you would have your children to do, to draw near to you. So bless us, Lord. Bless us as we draw near in this study, and bless us tonight as we draw near in prayer. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us now in this text, and speak to us in a short while as Sister Linda teaches on revival. Give us a double dose of knowledge and strengthen our faith. Don't allow us to waver. Don't allow us to doubt. Don't allow us to be the recipients of unbelief in our hearts and our minds. May we cast away unbelief. And may we draw strength from the word of the Lord. Bless us, God, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. We're talking about tragedies unfolding before our very eyes. In other words, there are things happening today. Well, I started out yesterday by pointing out that anytime we lose a giant in the faith, anytime we lose a once-in-a-generation type leader, that's a tragedy. At least it is for me. I can tell you it's a tragedy for me. Most of the men at who I had the pleasure to learn from, most of them are gone. There was a time when I could pick up my phone and call them to them and gain knowledge and gain advice and bounce things off them to see what they thought about what I was planning on doing. But as time went on, I began to lose them, and other young men like myself who sat at their feet, we all mourned the fact that our Joshuas, the Joshuas of our generation, the impactful people, the people who impact the generation. And boy, was I blessed to just have so many diverse men impact me. There was one woman who impacted me greatly, her, besides my grandmother, of course. There's a woman named Martha Falcon. Martha Falcon. She was the wife of my last pastor. The wife of my last pastor. And she founded a Bible Institute, which grew quite largely. It just grew. Now, she founded this Bible Institute back in the 1960s when women were not considered to be the founders of anything in the church, but she founded a Bible Institute. And she was its director from the moment that it was founded, until her husband was a late bloomer. And for many, many, many years, her husband was an assistant pastor. And then finally, he was given his own church. It was at that time when he was given his own church that she, of course, moved with her husband to the new pastorate. And they moved to Brooklyn, where, of course, I was a young man. And so she had to leave the Bible Institute. She had to resign because it wasn't possible for her to assist as a pastor's wife and then run a school at the same. It just, both were not possible. Also, there was a major distance. It was impossible to do. So what she did was, And in the first year of their pastor, she says, if there's anyone here in church who would like to learn the Bible, I'll give you private lessons. And so I was one of the first ones to sign up, and there was about eight of us. There was about eight of us who signed up. And she just began to teach the Old Testament. And boy, what a marvelous teacher she was. So that years down the road, when I went to Bible college and I did my first year of Bible college, everything the professors taught, every single subject they taught, I knew backwards and forwards. And that was because Martha Falcon had taught us with expert skill the Old Testament. That was her forte. The Old Testament was her forte. So when I got there, I just breezed through my first year, and they said, boy, you got this. You understand all of this. Were you trained before? Were you trained? Well, sure. And it was a woman, a great woman of God. Great woman of God. She died early. She died before her husband did. She died of cancer. She got stomach cancer, and then it was just a few months, 3 or 4 months, when she had passed. And we mourned. That was tragic. That was a tragedy. To lose someone so vital. You know, so I've had men and women in my life in the church who I would consider to be my Joshuas, my Deborahs, just wonderful people, wonderful people. And so here it says in the text, and I'm sure you've had a few of those in your life. It says here in the text, in Judges chapter 2, verse number 8, and Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died. That's it. Someone dies, it's a moment of great sadness. Sadness. And some would say, well, Pastor, why did you entitle this series Tragedies? Well, it's a tragedy for me to lose these key people. I had key people in my life, key people, who were so instrumental in my spiritual formation. I would not be who I am today had it not been for a Martha Falcon. That would be, if I didn't have that woman in my life whom God put there. I was a young man, and there she was. She had to give up her school and the school she founded, a school of great reputation. She just had to give it up in order to follow her husband, who was getting his first pastorate. He was excited over his first pastorate, and you can just tell she was devastated because she had to give up that which she started. And yet, she poured herself into eight young souls. And for those who took advantage of her knowledge of the Old Testament, boy, and what a pastor's wife she was. She was just amazing. So, well, like that, and you have kind of like a hole in your heart. And you start losing a bunch of people like that, and you have a bigger hole in your heart. Because again, these people, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, had a part in the formation of who I am today. So let me take you to Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy 34. And some people will say, well, you know, some super spiritual people say, well, you know, Joshua died, but we have the Lord. Okay. If that's how you feel, that's you. But when I've lost the Joshuas in my life, it brings just a great measure of sadness. So let me illustrate what I mean by tragedy by taking you to Deuteronomy 34, starting at verse 5. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died. There's another servant of God who dies. In the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And it says in verse 8, and the children of Israel wept. There it is. Why did they weep? Because they were heartbroken. For them, for the children of Israel, the death of Moses was a tragic turn of events. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab. And how long did they weep? 30 days. So that the weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. But they wept. The children of Israel had a good cry, a 30-day cry, a 30-day period of great mourning because their once-in-a-lifetime leader has been removed from this earthly stage. So that's what we talked about yesterday. Our first tragedy is when we start losing our generational Joshuas. And you, when you appreciate your Joshuas, or if they're females, if you appreciate your Deborahs, your women of God, when you start losing these people, there's a big void in your heart. Why? Because these are the people that God assigned to you to have a hand in your spiritual formation. Each one of these individuals, God brought your way to do something in the process. They had a specific assignment. I can tell you, each one of these people in my life, and I was blessed with so many people who just came, and they came with one specialty, but God wanted me to have that. And so that's why he brought them into my life for a season, and then they worked on me and worked on me and worked on me, and then I moved on to another Joshua, another person whom God had. You know, it's like when I earned my bachelor's degrees, I had certain professors in the bachelor's degree program and then at the master's program and then at the doctoral program. You just, at different stages, you just have different people in your life that make such an impression. And now, for me, most of those people are gone. I can't call them. I can't talk with them. They moved on. They're up in heaven. So that's the first tragedy. The second tragedy is that we start losing our elders. It says here in Judges chapter 2, and go with me to verse number 7. It says, the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua. So that's a very interesting phrase. The elders that outlived Joshua. First of all, what's an elder? An elder is a person who is up there in age. An elder. If they're up there in age, it is supposed that they are wise. An elder is a wise person, an experienced person. Wisdom and experience come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. And the reason why they are wise, experienced, and knowledgeable is because they sat under the pastorate of Moses and then under the pastorate of Joshua. The elders being referred to here, the elders that outlived Joshua, they had Moses as their pastor for a brief period, and they had Joshua as their pastor for most of their lives. They had two great servants of the Lord positing wisdom and knowledge into their lives. These are the people who can, you know, take, for example, Grace Church. Down there in the kitchen in Grace Church, there's a newspaper clipping there, and in that newspaper clipping, there's five or six women in that newspaper clipping. Well, those are the elders. But where are they? They're gone. Those five or six women in that picture are the women who could tell you, hey, I remember when Pastor so-and-so was here and when the other pastor who followed him was here. They can really tell you about the history of the church. It's the elders are what we call church fathers. Grace Church has a history of church, of men in the church who were like fathers, women in the church who were like mothers. These mothers and these fathers of the church served as trustees, deacons, deaconess, Sunday school superintendent, Sunday school teachers, department heads, moderators. These are the people who were here back in the 50s, 40s. The elders. Elders are important. Why? Because a Joshua could never do it alone. It's got to be Joshua and the elders. Joshua and the elders make up the team. It's horrible when you lose a Joshua. But it's even more devastating when you lose Joshua's team. The people who lived under Joshua's leadership. Now, think about this for a moment. Think on this. Joshua, the reason why Joshua dies before the elders is because Joshua is a holdover. Joshua really belongs to the Moses generation. But God did not want to give the generation that was born in the wilderness. Remember, there was a generation that came out of Egypt. All of those people died in the wilderness. And then there was another generation that was born in the wilderness. That generation is the generation being referred to here who at later on they become elders, but at the time they were just babes. They were just starting out. So Moses and Joshua come out of Egypt with a group of people, and that group never enters into the promised land. Moses dies, that generation that came out of Egypt dies, and the two holdovers from the previous generation are Joshua, and both Joshua and Caleb deposit truth, history, and spiritual knowledge into this new generation, which Joshua dies, and these elders who are children or young people in Joshua's time, now they become the seniors of the church. And now they too die. So you lose all of Joshua and everything that Joshua brought to the table, but then you lose all the people in whom Joshua deposited all this wisdom, experience, and knowledge into. They're all gone too. Because it says in verse 10, and also all that generation, what generation is that? Well, it's the elders that outlived Joshua. And also all that generation also were gathered unto their fathers. So we can look back. We can actually look back and say, boy, we feel at a loss. Well, why do we feel at a loss? Well, because all the people that were there for years, all the people with all the wisdom and all the experience and all the knowledge, all the people that we could lean on today for answers, they too are gone. And that puts us at a heavy disadvantage. Losing Joshua and losing the elders puts us at a great disadvantage. You're losing people whom God has slowly groomed. Remember, Joshua was groomed by Moses over a 40-year period. Joshua did not become Joshua until he had his 40-year apprenticeship under Moses. I mean, Joshua was fully trained. Joshua, before being called the servant of the Lord, was first called the servant of Moses. It was Moses who mentored Joshua. And God does this slow grooming, this slow mentoring, so that by the time Joshua comes into leadership, he's going to succeed. Why? Because he has been slowly aging in wisdom, experience, and knowledge under the watchful ministerial eye of Moses. When you lose a Joshua, you lose a man whom God was slowly grooming for the job. And then what do you get when you lose a Joshua, when you lose someone who has been slowly groomed? Now you get some rookie. Now you get some person who's wet behind the ears, some person who doesn't know, some person who has not been slowly groomed. And this is why the church goes downhill. So you lose Joshua, and you lose that support group that Joshua had. And this is why Joshua succeeded. No Joshua succeeds without leadership surrounding him. None. This is why every pastor looks around and says, okay, Lord, where's my team? I was so fortunate to come to Grace, and there was a team right there. It was a great team. All they needed was leadership. But there was a great team. And I believe that since we have worked so closely together, we've taken off. We've experienced steady success. But that's because there was a team, there's elders, there was a generation there holding things together until God brought the Joshua. Now, when you lose the Joshua and you lose that team that held everything together, in my opinion, is a tragedy. And this is what's being recorded here in Judges chapter 2. This is why everything goes downhill after you lose Joshua and after you lose that generation. Everything from there on goes downhill. So we're going to leave it there. We will leave it there, and we will come back tomorrow to look at tragedy number three. Tragedy number three. And listen, the elders are called, also called all that generation. You know, you have people who are 60, 70 years old, 80 years old, in the case of Shirley Shannon, 90. Pastor Harry, 90. I mean, how many years of experience do we have at Grace? You look at the people who are the elders of Grace, and if you were to tally everybody's years that they've been in the Lord, I would say we would come close to 1,000 years of what? Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Maybe some of you who are listening to me right now want to go do that as a little project. Start asking some of the elders, when did you come to Jesus? And you take that time to the present and you add up those years and then go to somebody else. And by the time you go to all the elders, everybody who sits on the trustees, everybody who sits on the deacons, all of the pastors, I am sure that we come close to, a 1,000 years, I would say. All of this, and if you were to lose all of this overnight, think about, we lost 1,000 years of walking with the Lord. 1,000 years of wisdom, knowledge, experience. That's the tragedy. When an up-and-coming generation loses all of that, that's the tragedy. Well, we'll be back tomorrow as we prepare for this series that Sister Linda Hart is doing about parents rearing up children in the Lord. She's going to make that wonderful announcement on Sunday, and all of that comes with an accompanying book. So don't forget tonight, 6:50, join us for prayer. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And I leave you with Jim Reeves, who sings, "It is no secret what God can do."
The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone new? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened. I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, God can do. There is no night, for in his light you'll never walk alone. You'll always